all times, so it was good. So let's just open in prayer, and then we'll take offering. We're not going to do worship tonight, so I'll try to get you guys out of here before dark. We used to could, but I guess it's not the same. Things change, don't it? And don't we like change? Pastor Jesse taught us that change is good. It's good. Everybody, yes. Amen. Glory. It does keep you from getting rusty and set in your ways, because we can get set in our ways. You know, you get in habits of same thing all the time, and when things change, it kind of can ruffle your feathers if you're not careful. But, you know, we're going to talk about that tonight a little bit, I think. So let's just open in prayer. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, I just come before you in the name of Jesus, and I just thank you, Father, for your presence in my life. I thank you, Father, that you said that if we would forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, you tell us not to, as we see the day approaching. And Lord, I see the day of Jesus' return approaching quickly. We see it. We're not in darkness, but we walk in light. We understand and we see that times are short. Father, we just thank you that we're ready to go, but Lord, we know that there's many that aren't. So Father, I just pray for the lost. I pray for those that aren't ready, that there'll be an awakening in the hearts of the Christians, and that there'll be a drawing for those that are lost. Holy Spirit, draw their hearts to you. Open their eyes to see. Open their eyes and send forth laborers into the harvest. We say, send us, Lord. Send us into the harvest. We thank you, Father. Lord, I thank you for this time tonight as we meet together. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. I thank you that I have an unction from the Holy Spirit. The teacher lives in me. The teacher, the helper, the intercessor. I thank you that you live big in me and that you teach. You've taught me and that you'll help me to speak clear, speak your words, not my ideas, not my thoughts, but your thoughts and your ways. I thank you, Lord. I rely wholly upon you. I give you all the praise, and I thank you, Lord, that you're so good, that you're so good, that you meet every need in our life tonight by your word. We'll just sit down at the table and just partake tonight of your word, what you have prepared for us, Father. I receive it, and I just thank you that I will grow thereby. I give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Maybe I shut my eyes, there'll be more come. Shut my eyes and open them, there's two more. We'll shut our eyes and open them and pray for more. God's the God of increase, isn't he? He is a God of increase. And that we're not looking at things that we see, but the things that are unseen. You know, we know God's got people there, and he's got people coming in here. We have families, we have friends, we have acquaintances that are to be here. So praise God, they're coming in the name of Jesus. We call them in. I'm just going to go ahead and take up the offering. I'm not going to give you a chance to give in the offering. I'm not going to give a teaching or do a teaching on it. You all know that bring your tithe into the storehouse so that there's meat in God's house. And, you know, he said he had opened the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon us that there not be room enough to receive it. I heard a testimony this week of how God has increased one lady in our church that she's got more at the end of the month than she ever had. And her income hasn't really changed. It's just more. So, you know, God is supplying. The children of Israel's clothes didn't wear out. For 40 years, they didn't have, and I think some of mine will last that long, too. Really, you know, I know my husband's will because he don't want to turn loose of them, but, you know. But God supplies everything that we have need of because he knows our needs. And he said if we'll seek first the kingdom, that all these other things, everything that we need to eat, the wear, all those things, he'll take care of it. So we shouldn't have to worry. It tells us, do not worry about those things. You know, he's our provider. He's so good to provide. We've all been in places where it was scampi, And you thought, oh, Lord, what do we do? And none of us look like we've starved. All of us have been clothed well. You know, we're all taken care of. God has provided. And he wants to provide not just for us to have everything that we need, but so that we have enough to give to every good work. When we see someone in need, you know, it feels so good to take care of someone else. You provide for somebody else and you leave and you think, man, you feel better than you got a present for yourself. You know, it's just like at Christmas when you give, you're giving gifts to other people, and a lot of times you don't really care if you get something yourself or not. It's not about that. It's what can I do? How can I help? What do they need? What do they want? And your heart, it's because you have God's heart. And his heart, he gave his best. He gave Jesus Christ his best. If he'll give us Jesus, it says in Romans 8, won't he freely give us all other things? He gave us his best. So, you know, why hold back clothes or finances or food or anything like that that we need of? If he already gave us Christ and everything was supplied in redemption. Everything we have need of was supplied for us through redemption, through what Jesus did on the cross. And, you know, I told my grandson today, do you think Jesus really, he didn't want to do his homework. I said, do you think Jesus wanted to go to the cross? I mean, that was a little intense, but I'd had it up to here, you know. I don't like school. You know, I said, well, you think Jesus really wanted to hang on the cross? And he was like, no. I said, but sometimes we just do what's best. He knew that he needed to do that for you. And you need to do this homework for me and for you and for your future. So we got it. Praise God. But I know we need to pray for teachers. When you start teaching at home, you forget. Kids just have a different way of looking at things. Praise God. But I'll try not to cry. I have tears that roll when I talk, but thank you, Lord. All right, Miss B, you want to pray over the offering? I'll put it on the spot. I know you can. You're instant in season. Hold up your hand or your Bible. Hallelujah. Yes.
For us to give our, when we give our tithes, it opens the window.
Yes. Yes.
Hallelujah. Now, Father God, we just praise you and thank you for this time. We do it joyfully.
Glory. Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus. Glory. Glory,
glory to God. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
I've got about 6 lessons in this book and still said, Lord, what do you want? I've written and written and written, and when I was sitting back there praying, a scripture come to me, and I'm going to share it with you. It's really not got everything to do with this, but it does too. But it's let me look real quick. Psalm, I'll find it. Psalm 131:2. You know, when you get up in front of people, sometimes not all that comfortable. It might look like it, but it's not. Psalm 131, verse 2. I want you to put that in the Amplified. We're going to look in 2 or 3 different. It says, surely, because I was like, oh, you could, stress can try to jump on you, but I was, the scripture, I just love how God, you know, when you put scripture in you, it's in you. And then when you need it, it just kind of bubbles up. It's so cool because it's just like bubbles on pop. It just starts bubbling up out of your spirit into your mind, you know, and helps. It says, surely I have calmed and quieted my soul. And your soul, we know what your soul is. It's mind, your will, and your emotions. So David says, surely I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child resting with his mother. My soul is like a weaned child within me, composed and freed from discontentment. Isn't that awesome? I mean, so next time you get stressed, just say, I'm just like a weaned child. You know, if mothers know what that's about. You know, a child that's not weaned cries and wants more. But when they're weaned, they're quieted. They're peaceful. You can pick them up without them, you know, wanting something. So look at the Passion Translation. Don't make me laugh, Miss B. We'll have a night of laughter. Look at the Passion Translation on that. It's really not my lesson, but I thought it was good. If you can find the Passion. You won't go? Well, it's okay. We don't have to. It says it all. Okay, there it is. I am humbled and quieted in your presence. And that's what it's about, getting in the presence of God. Like a contented child who rests on his mother's lap. I'm your resting child, and my soul is content in you. I love that. I could just stop now and go home and be, that would just be good, I think. So we're going to talk. I've been listening to, how many of you ever heard of Nancy Dufresne? Yeah, she's just awesome. If you get a chance this week or any time to pull her up on YouTube and listen to some of her teaching, she's doing some teaching on healing and love. Those go together. It's kind of neat to see, but it's true. I'm going to start with Romans 10:17. Romans 10:17. We could just put that in the King James if you want, Sandy. So, faith, you could put it in the King James. Faith comes by hearing, it says. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. She said, faith comes by hearing. Now let's look at Galatians 5 and 6. We can look at that in the King James too. Galatians 5 and 6. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything or uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Faith works by love. Faith comes by hearing. And we all know that. We've heard that. Faith comes by hearing, but it only works by love. So if we're having, she reminded us, and I've heard Brother Hagin say this, that if he counted more on his love walk to keep him healthy than he did on his confessions of faith. So we do have confessions of faith, and it's right. But he said if he ever started having symptoms in his body and he had his confessions of faith and he was believing God for the manifestation, if it didn't take place, he would start checking up on his love walk. He said, keep your love walk. Watch your love walk, because there's hindrances to faith. Faith is how we access everything from God. Everything that God has, we access that by faith. And it's like the train tracks, you could fill a train cargo with a bunch of good things, you know, but it's not going to move unless the love is what moves that train. You feel that the everything that we have need of by faith, but it's going to be activated by love. You know, I wanted to look even over in Corinthians chapter 13. Well, we'll try to not go by her notes because I don't go by notes well. 2 Corinthians, I think, 13 is the love chapter. How many of have ever memorized the love chapter? Do you know what it is? I did when I first got married. Did you guys not do that when you first got married? Or the second, it's 1 Corinthians 13. In the chapter before that, it's talking about the gifts of the Spirit, and it's they're really good. I was studying the gifts of the Spirit, but on verse 31 in chapter 12, it says, covet earnestly, or earnestly desire, and zealously cultivate, and that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31. Covet earnestly the best gifts, yet I'll show you a more excellent way. It says, earnestly desire the best gift, and yet I'll show you still a more excellent way, one that's far better and highest of than all of them, and that's love. Okay, so chapter 13 says, though I can speak with the tongues, chapter 13, verse 1, though I can speak with the tongue of men and angels and have not love, I'm become as the sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Verse 2. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity or love, I'm nothing. So you see, you can have all the faith in the world, but if you don't have the love to power that faith, it says you're nothing. So we, as faith people and being taught faith, we need faith. Faith is accessing the things that God has given us. You know, we grab that out of heaven with faith, but love is the power and what's going to power that faith. It's funny, chapter 12 speaks about the gifts of the Spirit. Chapter 14 is talking about the gifts in the Spirit and the gifts of healings. Right between them is chapter 13, speaking on love. So we can see the gifts, all these gifts are really when Jesus, I think we try to make it harder than it is, because you can see when Jesus walked up to people and he met someone that had a need, he didn't think, oh, I need the gift of faith, or I need this, or I need that. He just loved him. He just loved him and met that need, and the gifts just operated. And I think, you know, instead of worrying about what gifts are going to operate in our lives, if we just start loving those people that we meet, the gifts are just going to naturally flow out of that love, out of that compassion that's inside us. Romans 5:5. You know, I was thinking too before we left the house, when Jesus walked the earth, it says that he sat and he ate with the sinners. He mixed and mingled with sinners. But the church and the Pharisees and the Sadducees is who he got angry with. When he went into the temple, he went into the temple with a whip and turned over the tables and run them out because of their religious ways. But he didn't run from the sinner. He went to the sinner. You know, and I think the church, we've been in church so long that we're getting things backwards. We meet with our church members and we meet with each other and it's fun and we have fun and we have parties and we eat out together and we do all these things together, which is good. But we all, when we see sinners, we go, did you see that? Whoa, I'm glad that ain't my kid. You know, and we look at the world in a view of their, we don't want them around us at times. I've been guilty of that with, especially raising kids. You know, you're thinking, I don't want you hanging with this one. I don't want you. I've got to be so careful not to just judge the world, but put things in my kids, give them a foundation with Jesus Christ that when they meet someone that's different or in sin, I'm not afraid that they're going to go that way, but they're going to pull them. That's their way. The world will see the love of God in them and in me, that they'll want what I have instead of me saying, you know, putting our hands up and saying, oh, I don't want that around me. It's not that we bring it into our home, but we're sent out into the world. God said, go into all the world. You know, when missionaries go overseas to Africa and those places, do you think they see a lot? They see a lot of sin. They see a lot of evil. They see a lot of satanic activity. But they go right into it. You know, they're not afraid of the devil. You know, I think we've gotten where we're almost afraid of the devil's works. And we're the ones that have the power to destroy the works of the devil through Jesus Christ. It says in Peter, I think it says, Jesus, he was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. And he said, I give unto you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. What you loose on earth can be will already be loosed in heaven. We know whatever heaven has, we can loose it on earth. Whatever is bound up in heaven and it can't be there, we can bind that in earth. So whatever, you know, we've got that authority. He gave us the name of Jesus for our authority, you know. We don't have to allow or permit sin into our life, but we can take authority over that as long as it's under our authority. I mean, I can't take authority over Miss B's family or things like that because I'm not the pastor. Pastors have that authority to help us, but for me to go into someone else's home and try to take authority, that doesn't work. You know, we have authority over our realm, over what God has put in our life. So we have that authority in the name of Jesus. And he told us to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, lay hands on the sick. They will recover. They will recover. Well, you know, they'll speak in tongues. You know, if we take up any deadly thing, it's not going to hurt us. So there's no fear. He's taken care of fear. You know, even the scripture says perfect love cast out fear, because fear has torment. I lived in fear for years and years of fear. I had enough fear in me for 15 people, so I know what fear can do. Fear will cause you to do stupid things because of the thoughts, and it has power. Fear has a power, but the love of God has power, and the love of God casts out fear. And because that torment that goes along with fear, and that's where the world is, they are tormented. People can't sleep nights. You know, Christians can't sleep nights. It's not just the world. There's people in churches that cannot sleep nights because of the fear of, you know, even the last days. It says that people will, their men's hearts will fail them for fear of the things that are coming upon them. And you can talk to, I worked in a beauty shop for 30 years, and I did a lot of Christian people from a lot of churches, and they live in fear. They are so full of fear, and I would think, man, what are you guys learning? You know, because I had fear, and I'm so thankful God showed me how to come out of it, but it comes out, you access those things through his word. You know, I studied on the light. And, well, let's just look at that real quick. John 1, the book of John, verse 1. I'm not even going to go by notes. I'm just going to splat it out and whatever comes out. Hopefully, God, you guys get something here, because if I start trying to read this out of this book, I'll have myself so confused, and you too. So we are rooted and grounded in love. Okay. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. Verse 2. Verse 3, in him was life, and the life was the light. Verse 3. 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light in him was life. And the life of God is light, understanding, illumination. You get the Word and the Word and Jesus are the same. When we read our Bible, it's not like, okay, it's just on pages. It's alive. We've looked over in Timothy 3:16 says that all word scripture is God-breathed. It's alive. It's powerful. Pastor's always saying it's inherent. The power is inside it to do whatever it, we say. So, you know, I myself is just needing to learn and to walk in love at times, because that's a big area. You can think you're walking in love, but you're tried a lot of times, you know. So it's a, well, I was listening to Nancy Dufresne. She said you have to keep a constant look at your heart. Because, you know, you get out of love real easy, but if you keep your heart, keep watching your heart, keep searching your heart, and you do that with the scripture. Let the word of God will search your heart and help you to discern right from wrong, and it discerns your thoughts and the intents of the heart. The word of God will help discern your thoughts and your intents. She talked about going back to love. It's all kind of goes together, but going back to love, if you do things, everything that we do, all the works that we do, if it's not birthed out of love, it's going to die right here in the earth. It's not eternal. But everything that we do needs to be born out of love. Every work that we do needs to be born out of the love of God. Because when we stand before God, it talks about our works being burned up. And a lot of things that we do, if it's not birthed out of love, it's not going to be eternal. You know, it's just going to be here, and we're wasting our time with it. Because you work hard at doing things sometimes because you think you need to, or you think you have to, you know. But the heart has so much to do with what we do. Let's see if I can get back. Okay, let's look over in Ephesians 3:17. This is a prayer that, well, while we're getting to that, in Romans 5:5 it says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. So love isn't something we have to come up with. God put it in us. So we don't have to try to love. We just have to draw it out. Just like joy, you draw out that love. God, when we receive Jesus Christ, the Bible calls God, says God is what? Love. God is love. And when we were born again, His Spirit, He put love inside us. So it's in us. And if we're not walking in it, it's because we're not drawing it out. Just like if you're not walking in joy, you're not drawing it out. We have to draw out of what God put in us. You draw it out through the scripture too. You know, and you draw it out by saying, I decide to walk in love. Or I am deciding to walk in joy. I'm going to decide to walk in peace. And when you do, say that out loud. Somebody else is going to hear that, and you're going to get opportunities not to, you know. But love has power. Speaking the word of God, love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost, puts it out in front of me, and it puts light on the word, will come to life, and there'll be power in it as you speak it. The rhema word has power. So Ephesians 3:17. This is a prayer that Paul prayed, and this is a prayer that we need to pray for ourselves every day, and we need to pray it for the family of God, because we're all important to each other. You know, we need each other. We really do. I might not want to come to church sometimes, but when I get here and I go home, I'm glad I came. I'm built up. There's something about coming together with the family of God, because the love that's in you and in you and in you, that love and the giftings, it just makes a whole. You know, well, then there's the whole thing is there. The fullness of that love is there because we've come together. The fullness of the body of Christ. And you just can't get it by yourself. You can't get everything you need just by yourself. It's God's put it in all of us. And that's why when we come together, there's so much more. You know, and there's much more to partake of. So Paul prayed this for himself, and he's praying it for the church, and we need to pray it for us. He says, in verse 16, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. So there, by faith, Christ is dwelling in our hearts. But ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, and depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. So we can know the love of Christ and be filled with all the fullness of God. Who wants to more? Well, you know, we're always saying, I want more of you, Lord. We want more of God. We want to know you more. This is how we're going to know him. If he's love, we want to know the love of Christ. Open my eyes to understand the love, who you are. The Amplified says, that you, in verse 19, that you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves the love of Christ. So he's actually saying you need to experience for yourself the love of God and the love of Christ. We have to have that experience. Have you ever messed up real bad and felt pretty bad? And what, when you went to God with it, what happened? Did he just beat you up? Did he tell you, like I told my grandson today, did Jesus want to die on the cross? I shouldn't have probably said it like that. But God just, even when he corrects us, when we messed up, you leave and you just, he just is so tenderhearted and so loving and so kind to show you you're wrong and help you get back up and not even bring it up again. I mean, he doesn't even remind you. You know, we remind each other, remember when, and we remind ourselves, remember when you did that, you know. And if we're not reminding ourselves, the enemy will, or your friends or family, people try to keep you reminded of your shortcomings. God doesn't do that. He throws them in the sea of forgetfulness and remembers them no more. So for us to bring up our past or bring up our faults or any our failures is just really a waste of time, and it's the enemy's trap to keep you from boldness, like Brother David was talking about. We won't have boldness if we keep bringing up all these failures and who we're not, and, well, I'm not like this person, and I didn't do very good at that, and you cannot compare. We're not to compare ourselves with anyone else. God has made us unique. It says in Psalm, or in creation, we're talking about teaching the children, we're fearfully and wonderfully made. He knit us together in our mother's womb. He knew each of us so personable. He's so personable. He knows everything. I don't know everything that you need. Do you know everything I need? No. You know, we try to help each other, but only by the Spirit of God, and that's birthed out of love. The love of God that's shed abroad in our heart helps us to walk in the gifts. And when we're in prayer, even prayer needs to be because of love. You know, this is the simplest, most simple foundation. And that's what Nancy Dufresne was saying. This is your foundation. Nobody builds a house without a good, strong foundation. And the foundation of the gospel is the love of God. The foundation of faith is the love of God. The foundation of healing. I can remember praying for my husband. I don't know if I've shared this, but he had tendonitis in his elbows. He worked in a sawmill, and his arms got so where he couldn't even lift his gallon of tea, and that's pretty serious because he likes tea. You know, it hurt so bad. And the worry part of me, I was like, oh, I got to pray because what if he can't go to work, you know? And then my lightning fast mind started thinking, okay, if he's not working, there's no paycheck, because I wasn't working at that time, I don't think. If I was, it was. But anyway, that all started coming at me. So I'm walking my mile and back a day, and Lord, I pray for Jimmy's arms. I pray that you heal his elbows and, you know, blah, blah. And God, I shut up long enough for him to say, you ask amiss. And I'm like, what? That's a scripture. You ask amiss. And I'm like, what? You know, and he said, you're asking me to heal him because of the fear that he won't have a paycheck or something, you know, or you're going to get in a bind. That was not love. That was selfish. It was my selfishness of all the things that was the enemy was trying to tell me, and I was taking that fear to God, you know, which he corrected me lovingly and just said, you ask amiss. And he said, why do you think I heal people? I heal them because I love them. You know, why do you think I would heal his arms? Because I love him. I don't want him to hurt. So that, you know, that kind of kicks you in the butt when God teaches you that. But it was true, and it helped me to see when I pray for someone, you know, we faith people look at other people and say, I don't understand why they don't walk in faith. We're not walking in faith when we do that, because God says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, and my commandment is love. The commandments that God gave, he gave 10 commandments, but in the New Testament, he said, I'm going to write a new commandment. The first is, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. And what's the next one? Love your neighbor as yourself. Very few of us love our neighbor as ourself. You know, I'm not judging, but for me, I know I don't always love my neighbor as much as I love myself. And God did, you know, and he put that love in us for this time, for the harvest. The harvest is going to have to be won by the love of God. The harvest isn't going to be won or reaped just by faith alone, because if it's not powered by love, we read in Corinthians, it's nothing. It's just noise. You know, it's puffed up. The Bible tells us we can know knowledge, which is faith. Sometimes we get a lot of knowledge, and we have a lot of knowledge of the word, but it says faith, or all that knowledge, can just puff you up. And you can think, just like the Sadducees and Pharisees, the Pharisees said, they knew God, they knew the scriptures, but they didn't know Jesus. They knew all the scriptures, all that knowledge, but when Jesus walked in there, according to John 1, he came to them and they didn't even know who he was. So just having knowledge doesn't mean we know Jesus Christ or we walk in love, because we have the knowledge of the Word of God. Karen and I have, over the years, have memorized scripture and tried to do it all. We tried to do it all, believe me. And we've, in Christian school, every day there was scripture. Those kids had to memorize Psalm 91, second, third graders, if they was going to go get anywhere by the end of the month, they better have Psalm 91 learn, right, Miss Debbie, Barbara? They learned scripture, and they learned all month long one scripture. And then at the end of the month, they recited that scripture. And I'm like, that was put in those kids, and it was tricky. They didn't know it, you know. But my kids now say, wow, I'm thankful that we had to do that, you know. But putting that in us, it's the love of God. His word is love. Everything we read in his word is love. And it quiets us like a weaned child. You know, you can be going through a situation in life and his word will bubble up in you. And it's just like, that's okay. You know, everything's going to be okay because his word spoke to you. So it's so important, you know, that we get the word of God in us, but know that it is born out of every scripture's God breathed. God is love. It doesn't say he is made. It says he is. He is love. He doesn't just portray love. He is. And so we is, because we are made in his image. And so, you know, reading this, praying this scripture over ourselves, that we may come to know practically through the personal experience the love of Christ, which surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that we may be filled up through our whole being to the fullness of God, so that we can have the richest experience of God's presence in our lives. So by knowing the love of God, we're going to have his richest presence, the presence of God. You know, his presence settles down upon us. Love just settles upon us. Now, something that I got to work on and I'm learning, just because we walk in love doesn't mean we put up with sin or wrong. When someone is doing something wrong or in your midst or in your home or things are happening, doesn't mean you go, oh, I just love them so much, I'll just let them get by with that. You know, Nancy gave an example of in heaven, someone was doing wrong and he got kicked out. So God didn't put up with Satan when he came to him and he was so proud and, you know, tried to overthrow God. God is love. What did he do? He didn't put up with it. He put him out. So, you know, we're not passive. If we get into a situation, walking in love doesn't mean, oh, just let him walk all over me. That's not what walking in love. Walking in love is using your authority, but using it in a right manner, you know, not in, well, like I said, Jesus went into the temple and overthrew the money changers. That was love. That was correction. She was saying, when my kids did something wrong, do you think I let them get by with that? She said, no way, because I love them too much to let it go. I said, no, this ain't happening. And I was with Kenneth Copeland the other night talking about his grandmother. I thought, man, that must have been related to my husband's family, because his grandmother, they had kids, the boys come home from the Navy, one of the boys come home from the Navy, and he used the D word in his mother's kitchen, and she picked up, real quiet, little bitty lady, just walked over to the stove and picked up her iron skillet and donked him upside the head with her iron skillet. And I thought, they're related to my husband's family, because that's how they've done that stuff. But she said, you don't use that language in grandma's house, do you? And he's like, no, ma'am. You know, adult came home, but she used her authority. She was not letting that by. So, you know, I don't know if you need to use iron skillets, but we do have authority. So anyway, I don't know. I think I'm pretty much done. We want to be rooted and grounded in love, so that we can comprehend with all saints what's the breadth, how deep, how wide God's love is. So we can sing that for ourselves or put that in our prayer every day. All right, I'm going to close there because I've run out of notes. And I don't know where we're going with that. But, you know, just encouraging you. I'm encouraging myself. You know, listen to those CDs or those tapes or whatever they are, YouTube. Listen to YouTube, telling me how old I am, tapes, CDs. Listen to YouTube with Nancy Dufresne and really get that in you, because I really believe that the harvest is going to be won by the love of God. You know, not faith alone. Nancy Dufresne. Yeah, and she's got like 18 messages on love. Can you imagine having 18 messages on love? Yeah, and they're really good, you know, and I've been trying to listen to them. I almost just put her on tonight, but I didn't know if the internet would hold up, because it's hard to teach someone else's message the way they do, but I got a big part of it out. I know that God is love, and he's put his love inside us for a purpose. So, all right, let's pray and dismiss. Father, I just thank you for your help tonight. I thank you for the word of God that you've given us, and that it is so alive and so pure and so powerful that it's enough to put us over, to meet every need and to win the lost. Your love, the love that you have put inside us, Father, is enough to propel us to go into the world, to propel us out to pray, to propel us to reach out to those that are unloving and unkind and look bad or whatever, Father, the world. You came for the world. You so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son. So we just thank you, Father, for your love, that you first loved us. While we were yet sinners, you loved us. So, Lord, that love that you have is placed inside my heart, inside our hearts, and I pray that we'll stir that love up and that we'll see others through your eyes, see others and be moved by your compassion. I just thank you for it, Lord, and I ask that this word that we've heard tonight, Father, be imprinted, be in our hearts, and that it'll be alive and that it will stir us to do your will and what you've called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Protection over everyone that's driving, in Jesus' name. So you're dismissed.